the Public News Service Daily Newscast, September the 24th, 2020. I'm Mike Clifford. President Donald Trump Wednesday would not commit to providing a peaceful transition of power after Election Day. CNN reports that is lending further fuel to concerns he may not relinquish his office should he lose in November. Quoting Trump, "Well, we're going to have to see what happens." CNN notes that Trump had previously refused to say whether he would accept the election results, echoing his sentiments from 2016, and he has joked, he says, about staying in office well past the constitutionally bound 2 terms. CNN adds his refusal to guarantee a violence-free transition went further and is likely to alarm opponents already on edge, given his deployment of federal law enforcement to quell protests in American cities. A fourth major clinical trial for a COVID vaccine debuted on Wednesday. Public health experts are asking for help.
Millions of volunteers are needed to aid in the effort, but so far just 410,000 people have signed up. COVID-19 Prevention Network Executive Director Dr. Jim Kublin says everyone is going to benefit from these vaccines, so we should all be willing to pitch in.
We desperately need the general public to volunteer for these vaccine clinical trials. This is a tremendous way for people to step up and really accomplish their civic duty by contributing to the advancement of these COVID vaccines.
It takes about 5 minutes to enter your information on the website preventcovid.org. No one in the trial will be infected with the virus itself. If you are chosen, you'll be given an injection of either a placebo or of the possible vaccine and be studied for several years. Side effects are usually limited to redness and swelling at the injection site. Hundreds of sites are activated every week, so it's not too late to get involved. Study participants are paid for their time, usually a few $100s. A growing anti-vaccine movement has questioned the safety or effectiveness of some immunizations in recent years. Patients are advised to consult their doctor with any concerns. For Public News Service, I'm Suzanne Potter.
And this Saturday night, musicians, healthcare workers, and people who've been directly affected by COVID-19 are coming together online to raise awareness and funds for underserved communities hit hardest by the pandemic.
Joe Akinpinti with United Healthcare, one of the sponsors of the Act for Impact Telethon, says the event supports an American Lung Association program that's addressing a gap in resources for Black and Brown communities. It also aims to educate folks with underlying health conditions like obesity and diabetes that make them more susceptible to the coronavirus.
The action and this initiative is really addressing disparities in COVID testing, providing masks, and access to vaccines in underserved communities. So developing critical plans on how to prevent future pandemics and also funding critical research.
I'm Diane Bernard.
This is PNS. Native American groups now hope the president will sign a measure designed to help law enforcement get a handle on a public safety issue that's plaguing tribal communities.
Earlier this week, Congress gave final approval to Savannah's Act, which addresses cases of missing and murdered indigenous people. It orders the Justice Department to develop guidelines to solve and prevent these cases while establishing data collection. Lisa Casares of North Dakota Native Vote says the public finally is noticing that natives are easily targeted for horrific crimes and that this will hopefully bring some solace.
It's considered positive, considering, you know, this has been a long-standing issue within any country that, you know, the missing and murdered indigenous women and indigenous people.
The bill is named after Savannah Graywind, a pregnant Native American woman who was brutally murdered in 2017. Her body was found along the North Dakota-Minnesota border. Indigenous women face more violence than any other group. The National Institute of Justice says at least 84% of these women have been the target of sexual or other violence in their lifetimes. I'm Mike Moen.
For the first time now, registered voters in Massachusetts can ask for a mail-in ballot online and without any physical paperwork.
Secretary of State William Galvin launched the new mail-in ballot online application system on Wednesday. The creation of the online portal was part of legislation passed this summer to increase voting access in response to COVID-19. Common Cause Massachusetts Executive Director Pam Wilmot thinks the large numbers of people voting by mail in the state primary this month helped drive record turnout.
It's pretty astonishing the number of people that voted. It was literally 4.5 times the turnout of 2016.
More than 1.7 million people voted in the September Massachusetts primary election, breaking a 30-year record for a state primary. I'm Laura Rosbrow-Tellum reporting.
And finally, Eric Lattice tells us wildfires becoming more common and severe due to climate change and its warmer and drier conditions across the West. Now, health experts are warning that people exposed to wildfire smoke are also at increased risk for COVID-19 infection.
Cheryl Perosi is a pulmonary physician with University of Utah Health. She says the overlap of wildfire season with the coronavirus pandemic has sharply increased health risks.
Wildfire smoke itself has harmful health effects, and there's a growing body of research showing that air pollution exposure increases risk for COVID-19 infection and more severe disease or more death.
She says wildfire smoke includes a complex mixture of dangerous particulate pollution, which can cause inflammation and suppress the body's natural immune system, increasing the risk for respiratory viral infections, including COVID-19.
I'm Mike Clifford for Public News Service. We're member and listener supported on great radio stations across America and online at publicnewsservice.org.